Hello and welcome, everyone. We are here on the Legendary Leadership Radio Show. I am Rebecca Mathias, Intuitive Business and Success Coach, and this is our weekly radio show where women in business from all over the globe gather each week to come together, get accountability and guidance to get more done in a feminine way. And you truly are the pioneers that are leading the way on a new path of getting it done like a woman, where you get success, accomplishment, increased self-confidence, and project completion. It is your time to take a stand and step into your own greater levels of success and accomplishment. And I am super excited. As you know, third Tuesday every month, we have a special guest, and I will be introducing Natalie Michal in just a few minutes here. And I started this weekly show to support you, to motivate you, and to coach you on what actions and mindset you need in order to create the success you so deserve, giving you the ability to live your best life, inspiring and empowering others. And these shows are a way for me to give back, and they speak most near and dear to my passion of supporting and empowering women making a difference in the world through their business. You can learn more about me at RebeccaMathias.com, and if you have not done so yet, please request to join our Facebook group, which is Facebook.com/groups/legendaryleadership. You only need to be in the group or sign up one time for access to the radio show information, and the details every week will automatically get emailed to you. We have quite juicy shows that are just full of content, and you have the ability every week to get live coaching and ask questions and get answers. So our intro music is called Be the Change by award-winning singer and songwriter Bob Sima. And you can find more about Bob and his music at bobsima.com. That's spelled S-I-M-A. And welcome to the call, everyone. So we have a very, very special guest today. TV veteran Natalie Michal brings her experience and expertise as a development executive, executive producer, longtime business owner, and successful entrepreneur to you and your business. Whether you are looking to develop yourself as an on-air expert, position your brand for the media, or develop and sell your TV show, Natalie delivers hard-to-find information about media access in an engaging and easy-to-understand way. With a trustworthy track record that includes the highest-rated talk show in history, The Oprah Winfrey Show, and Inside Edition, the longest-running news magazine show ever, Natalie navigates you through the elusive and exclusive world of television. Natalie Michal is an industry expert and consults with clients on all aspects of the media, including non-scripted show development and pitching and branding yourself for the media, and she is currently taking on clients at this time. You can find out more about Natalie at nataliemichal.com, and that's spelled M-A-S-H-A-A-L. And welcome, Natalie, to the call. How are you?
Hi, Rebecca. Good to speak to you again.
You too. It's
great.
It's such a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you so much. Really a pleasure to be back. I was very excited to reconnect with you again after our last call was so successful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just so the listeners know, we had a pretty juicy call yesterday as well, talking about the balance that women need to find and the trials and tribulations that women go through as business owners, and also as mothers and, you know, contributors to the family and that sort of thing. So while we will be certainly covering some plenty of juicy information today in regards to our topic, which is how to develop yourself as an on-air expert, you might find us diving into some other information. Natalie was sharing with me yesterday that she's been doing some presentations at universities. And one of the things that I found so fascinating was that a lot of these young women are really more interested in asking you about their, you know, how do you do it? How do you do the business plus the running your family and that sort of thing? And so while we have this tangible information that helps people to really accelerate their business and take it to the next level by leveraging their ability to be in an on-air expert, there's also this behind-the-scenes thing that goes and says, you know, how do I do it all? So why don't you share with us your system or your step-by-step to really develop each of us has the ability to develop ourselves as an on-air expert. And then, you know, maybe just keep in mind that our listeners are also interested in this balance between work and play and business and pleasure.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because the guys, whenever I speak at one of these universities, I always have, you know, a line of people wanting to ask these pressing questions, and the guys want to know, how did I get my first job, and, you know, especially at the Oprah show and that kind of thing, and, you know, were mentors, you know, integral in being able to get that, and how did your major influence your interviews and all that stuff. And the women, they just want to know, am I in a career here that I can manage? Like, can I do everything at the same time? Can I have it all? And I think that's the ongoing thing from inception, from when you realize you're a woman and you're going to have to learn how to balance all this stuff. That's, you know, that's when it first comes out. It's like, hey, should I pick a career that I know I can work part-time once I have kids, or should I follow my heart first? You know, and I think that's even ongoing now. You know, even, you know, after being successful for 20 years or having been in my occupation for 20 years, I still second guess myself. Should I branch off and should I take consultants, you know, be a consultant so that I can spend more time with the kids? Or should, it never ends. Don't you find that, Rebecca?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Totally, I totally do.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing. So it really starts, you know, at the beginning, and it's nothing new to any of us. But, you know, as far as becoming, you know, getting some exposure, this is the thing. Everybody these days can consider themselves an expert at something. And, you know, some people say, oh, you know, nobody's really an expert, or, oh, you need 200 hours to be considered an expert. Whatever is in your heart and you're passionate about and you really dive into and you feel like you can share or have valuable information to share with other people, that's what you need. Now, the level at which you'll get media attention will vary on how credible you are. That's pretty obvious, right? I mean, if you think about it, if you really take on an angle that, hey, you know, I'm going to go about this to get a very wide net of people, I want to reach as many people as possible, you know, there's a place to start and then there's a goal. And so, you know, I always tell people, like any other business, Rebecca, you know, when you start anything that you see as powerful and you're all excited about it, you don't open 12 stores at the same time, right?
Right.
You start with one. So that, I consider this the same kind of thing. You get, you know, some local media attention, you work out all the knots, and you get some media experience, you put a team together of people that can, like, help carry you there. And by the time you kind of have developed that from a local level and really understand what your worth is to the public, once you kind of get that, they'll come find you. The TV will come find you because they need you. That's the joke of the whole thing. There's such a lack. I mean, as a TV producer, you know, we were always looking for people that were at the top of their game and that, you know, had already, like I said, worked out the kinks somewhere else, so it wasn't on our national television show. But, I would die to find those people. I just have to be able to find you. So the biggest hint that I can give is, once you kind of feel like, okay, I've had some of this experience, I've had some media attention, but it's been really condensed, let's say, in Philly or, you know, in a smaller market relative to, you know, the national scene, the best thing you can do is to be able to get people to find you, these producers, you know, to be out there in a way that we can find you. That's probably the most important thing, from being able to jump from a local to a national level, from jumping from just, you know, plain old expert, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years or 20 years, I know what I'm doing, but I have no media experience, you know, get going. You know, and when I say that, I mean just get going. Get in touch with some local producers and get your name quoted in local trades and be respected and out there in the public, and it will snowball. That's the way it starts.
Okay, awesome. So what do you need to do to get people to find you?
Well, you mean, so if we're jumping from, do you mean from like a local to a national level?
Well, both.
Or
I mean,
anybody.
At first, if someone's newly in business and they're like, you know, all right, I want to get some media coverage because that is where I'm going to flush out these knots and that sort of thing and get polished on air.
Yep.
Where would you suggest that someone start?
Local news is really the best place to start. And local trades, local publications, those are, remember that on-air, you know, producers are looking for experts. And so if you are referred to, let's say, by a local newspaper, or even your town newspaper, your county publication or whatever, and are regarded as an expert and quoted often, then when I Google you as a producer and say, all right, so, you know, this person was recommended to me, or I came across this name, let me Google her, you know, these things will come up. Oh, she was quoted in this publication. She was quoted in that publication. So that adds to the credibility. In addition to being quoted in, let's say, the newspaper or magazine trades or on, you know, blogs, smaller blogs, is this idea that you really need to have already had some kind of media, television on-air experience. So it's like this catch-22 thing, Rebecca, where you know, you need experience on air to get experience on air, and I don't have any, but I need some to get some, you know, that kind of thing. It's this vicious cycle. So you really have to kind of get in there in a way that is not featured on you. So what do I mean by that? So you know how most people think, oh, well, I started this new business. I want somebody to do a feature on me or this new business or whatever, and then I'll get some on-air time and get quoted. No one's going to do that right off the bat. What they're going to do is use you for a quick soundbite, a quick 10 seconds. If, let's say, you're in real estate and there's something that has gone on with the real estate market in whatever market you're in, you know, they'll use a little bite from you saying, you know, we saw this coming, you know, it wasn't as unpredictable as people may have thought. And that's all they'll quote, but you are now, you know, Natalie Michelle, real estate expert or broker or, you know, real estate developer in the Philly area or whatever. So, you know, that's how it started, being quoted for other stories, not focused on you and your business alone. And I think people forget that. I think they think that they have to be featured, you know, for their business. But you're much more likely to get on television if you're supporting the industry as an expert for whatever industry that you're in. And you should let those television local producers at all the affiliate stations know who you are, what you do, and that you can be counted on as a resource. And they're very receptive to it because they need that. Now, look, a lot of people already have their little Rolodex, right? And people always say, you know, well, so how do I get into that? Well, it's the same with anything. How, if you're a lawyer, do you get new business? You know, you wait for somebody to switch lawyers. Same thing. You work your way in there. You show them why you're different, your USP, your unique selling point. Why me?
You know,
you can count on me. You need a quote from me in 10 minutes because you have a deadline? Done. You know, whatever it is that you know is important to these producers, and that, by the way, is very important to those producers, that they can access you whenever they need you. You know, those are the kinds of things.
True, very true. And I also think a lot of it ends up being, you know, if you're newly pregnant, you know, you start seeing pregnant people everywhere. And if you're looking for a particular car, that's like the kind of car you see on the highway. So if your intention is really to get in the media and you start going to these events, I know for me personally, about a year and a half ago, I went to an event up in Philadelphia, and it was a media training event. And I really didn't think much beyond, oh, this is great exposure for me to meet new people, do some networking, and learn about how I might be able to get myself in the media. I didn't really think beyond that, like, oh, there might be news anchors on here, that sort of thing. And it turned out that I ended up connecting with one of the news anchors, and I sent her a pitch, and boom, last year in January, I was one of their on-air experts. And to continue cultivating that relationship and sending the pitches is also very helpful. What I think is really critical that you said earlier is understanding what your worth is. And a lot of times when people are just starting out, or even maybe they've got a year or two under their belt, and they may have credibility and they may have plenty of expertise, but if they don't believe in their worth and that level of confidence is there, it's not going to translate when you're trying to get that coverage. So what would you suggest for someone to really begin understanding and having confidence in what their worth is? A lot of people I've seen, especially with women, will be like, well, I need this coaching certification, or I need to go back to school and get this master's degree. Like, it's this kind of chronic women thinking that they're not enough. And so how would you suggest that a woman begins to heal that so that they can then go and do a pitch and get a result?
So Let me tell you just a really quick story about when I first started out. My very first job at the Oprah Show. Mm-hmm. So when I was interviewing for that position, everybody that got interviewed had a master's from Medill School of Journalism, and I didn't. And I could have easily been intimidated by the idea that all these people had more journalistic experience than I did. In fact, I hadn't had any. It was an entry-level job. I hadn't had any experience. I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know how to log. I didn't know anything about the industry. And I still interviewed, and I thought to myself, I don't get it, right? I got the job. There were hundreds, I'm sure, of people lined up to get these entry-level Oprah Winfrey jobs. I was one of three. And
wow.
The other two had masters. And I'm not saying I'm so terrific and fabulous that I could, they could overlook the whole master's thing. But the truth is, there was something there that we ended up having a conversation about it later of why he ended up hiring me without a master's. But the point of the whole thing is that if I hadn't tried, if I had thought that I wasn't good enough or worthy of it, I wouldn't have even gone to the interview, which is what most people do. They don't go. They don't try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think, oh, I'll look stupid. You know, we're constantly second-guessing ourselves, as you brought, to my attention and everybody else's attention. That's what we do. By nature, women are always thinking, oh, do I deserve this? Or are they going to find me out? You know, just like, the Lean In book that talks all about how we always think someone's going to find us out. Do I deserve this? Do I deserve to be called a guru? Do I deserve to be called an expert? And the truth is that this is the advice that I give to other women. Until you find that something is stopping you, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that simple. It really is. Because, if you think to yourself, oh, I really need a master's to get the job that I want. Well, do you? Have you tried? If you've tried
mm-hmm.
a few times and you're finding that you're getting beat by people that do have master's degree, fine. Case in point, go back and get
mm-hmm.
your master's. But maybe, just maybe you don't need the master's. You just are insecure about your worth. So
mm-hmm.
if you go and you try, you might get the job. You just
mm-hmm.
might. Or the client. Or the interview, or whatever it is that you're looking for. But first you really have to try. I say until it's in your face that you need some other kind of certification, don't do it. Some people stop themselves, let's say, from being in my industry now. So I've moved from being, a day runner, which is an executive producer on set, to being a consultant and to being a speaker. And so
mm-hmm.
people, have always said, to be a successful speaker, you need a book. Well, I mean,
mm-hmm.
when I want to write a book, I'll write a book when it comes from me. But I don't want to write a book to be successful if I don't need it. I'm booking plenty of jobs right now speaking without it, and I don't want to be forced into it.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear what I'm saying? That's how my own brain has learned to think over the years, is I'm going to do what I think I want to do first, and if I'm stopped, then I'll reevaluate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, so often women are really – their own worst enemies, where they're the ones stopping themselves.
Yep.
So
yep.
really, not allowing these, wherever it came from, typically childhood, of thinking like, I'm not enough, or I don't have enough degrees or what have you, and so on, that dictates then the feelings of I'm not enough and really going for it. And like Natalie's saying, just continuing to go until there's something that's stopping you, because most of the time, I'd say probably 99% of the time, you're not going to end up finding something that's stopping you anyhow.
Right. Well, you'll find something else. You'll find another reason
mm-hmm.
or another thing or another excuse, to hide the fact that you are just scared,
mm-hmm.
you're scared
mm-hmm.
to succeed. And so,
yeah.
The truth in the other point in moving ahead, let's say you do want to get a master's, or you do want to write a book, or, whatever it is that, you want to add, to be able to add to your credibility, great. But the two are not mutually exclusive. You don't need to only work on the book or only work, whatever it is, and then you can start looking for engagements or jobs or clients or whatever. You can do them simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
And if you find
Absolutely.
That you're not, you're probably hiding.
Right. Yeah, I mean, on this hiding piece, I mean, one of the things that I work with a lot of clients on especially is visibility. And I know for my own self that when I first started my business, even though I've been a pretty confident person my whole life, I can remember when I first started my business and my coach at the time, and she didn't even have to say anything. I remember looking at her and saying, oh, God, you're going to tell me I've got to get on Facebook, aren't you? And it's just funny to think about all these years ago. And, I mean, whatever brain process was there, it was kind of hilarious because I literally was friending people in chronological order. So I was like, let me think of everybody I went to elementary school together. Let me think of everybody I went to middle school together.
So
and
funny.
I was literally friending people by, like, you know, stages of my life. And now,
right.
you know, it's just like, okay, there's just, it's totally public. It's totally out there. But for people who have visibility issues, that does translate into the media. I mean, if you've got visibility issues and you've got issues with speaking up for yourself or, mm-hmm. you know, self-confidence, like these will translate into the media. So how to cure those visibility things so that, because here's the deal, like, if you want to have a big impact and you want to also, and, you know, I'm a firm believer of your impact equals your income to a certain degree,
mm-hmm.
that you've got to be able to be visible in order to do that. And sometimes it means feeling uncomfortable. So what suggestions mm-hmm. would you have there for someone with visibility issues?
That they don't really, they're not comfortable being visible?
Yeah, they're just, you know,
yeah.
kind of like the quieter person or
yeah.
they're, you know,
yeah.
they're afraid
I get
to
that
speak
a lot.
Up kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that question a lot. So, well, a few things. Number one, I love the word uncomfortable because uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
kind of brings you out of your zone and really helps push you to be who you are supposed to be. That is part
mm-hmm.
of growing. That is part of moving your business forward, moving yourself as a person forward. That's all part of the deal is being in an uncomfortable space. If I'm comfortable all the time, there's no room for growth. That's it. You know, and I'll become lazy and really not really move anything ahead in my life. But when you're uncomfortable, you have to take that on. You really, it's really how it occurs for you. This idea of being uncomfortable should occur to you as being exciting. It should occur to people as being an opportunity. If it has to occur for you as dollar signs, let it occur for you as dollar signs. But something positive, something that you
mm-hmm.
know is going to help you and not hurt you. So that's, you know, the first thing from kind of like this psychoanalytical standpoint of how do I conquer the fear thing. Because, again, like we know, anything that scares you, that's, well, that's what you should be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
Totally.
Anything that scares you is what you should be doing. You should do one scary thing a day.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I, you know, even I get some nervous.
That's the growth.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's awesome. Like when people say, you know, I'm not good with change. No, you're not good with the idea of change. You see change as being a misery. Change is awesome. Change brings, you know, kids into the world. Change brings, you know, free countries. Change brings a lot of really good things, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so it's just really how you view it. You're stopping yourself
mm-hmm.
again. So
exactly.
Yeah, again, you're stopping yourself by seeing that as being an uncomfortable thing. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be nervous or, you know, or feel like, oh, my gosh, I've never done this before. But really, isn't it true that people see things as an opportunity or an experience that is worse than when it actually occurs? You know, and you have to really know that. You have to know that what's going to really happen to you. Are you really unprepared? If you are prepared, if you know what the topic is and what the parameters are of what the journalist is looking for, And I do suggest actually getting a little bit of media training. If you can fit it into your budget, it's very well spent if, you know, to invest in yourself that way. So just
mm-hmm.
so that, by the way, just so that you're comfortable, because then you can stop worrying about what they're going to ask and how you're going to respond and whether you'll be asked back again and the lights, whether that's going to make you nervous, all that stuff. You can stop worrying about that stuff and talk to them about what they want from you. What you're good
mm-hmm.
at. We all know that we can talk forever about what we're good at. You know, that's easy, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, is the media
yeah.
training something that you offer?
I do not offer it, but I do have,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I have recommendations for people if they want it.
What does that look like? What does that exactly entail?
Media training? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So media training really helps you get an idea, number one, of the lingo. There's a whole
mm-hmm.
lingo. In any industry, there's a lingo. You know,
true.
So it helps you, number one, get familiar with the lingo. it helps you understand what is expected of you when you're being interviewed, whether it's for a publication or really an on-air. This is really for, it's media in general. You can do anything for print or journalist or being interviewed and how to handle that, or also just on air, which is, you know, what is expected of me. And when I mean what is expected of you, certain things like being able to speak in what's called sound bites. Now, most people that haven't done any media don't even know what that is, right? But speaking in sound bites means speaking in 7 to 10 second bunches so that they can edit that at some point and use that as a bite, as a quote from you.
Mm-hmm.
And so one, when being interviewed, has to learn how to speak that way. And it takes practice, sure. And on the local level, you know, they chop and cut and whatever because they know they're not dealing with, you know, professionals that have been doing this for years. But the more you understand, the better you off you are. And the less nervous you are.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, do you suggest Toastmasters too?
Toastmasters is great. You know, I have never done Toastmasters, but just inquired about it myself. So I don't know too much about it, but I just started asking. I heard that there are a bunch of different groups around, you know, in the local areas, there are many, as even in New York City, there are like 100 different groups.
Yep.
And each
group
is very different. Yeah, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And some are very serious and some are a little more fun and whimsical. And, you know, so I heard you have to really try to find where you're comfortable and learning how to speak. But any opportunity to speak, even at a PTA meeting, it's just getting comfortable with speaking and speaking, you know, on the cuff, off the cuff, and just being able to, you know, being able to really impromptu whatever you're going to say, have it come out naturally and be understood and be succinct and, you know, and make sense and be engaging to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine those two would complement one another, doing the Toastmasters and having the media training.
Oh, yeah, can't hurt, for sure, for sure. And when I say media training, I don't think you really need to do 6 months' worth of media training. I don't think you need to hire hardcore. I think you need to be familiar and comfortable.
And what is it that you do? So, you know, if the person's going to go get media training, then what is it that you provide?
What I do is I help brand people for the media. So the media training is a part of that, but what I do is I put together the entire package. So I help you develop all the materials that you need because there are a bunch of materials that are really expected of you. You know, it depends on what level you're moving from, having no media to local, local to national. But you do need things like, for example, a sizzle reel. What is that? How do I put one together? Who does it for me? How much should I be paying for something like that? You know, so I coach people through that, and then I also I coach the editors, the actual producers they hire to do the sizzle reel, on how to do it, you know, in the best way to have the best reception from a producer. So I look at everything from a producer standpoint. You know, if I Google your name, you know, where do I start? That's where I always start. I start with a Google. What comes up? You know, and then we work on that. What is your presence when your name is Googled? How do you get some PR in there? Who do I call to be able to, you know, put out some press releases about what I'm doing? You know, we kind of form everything so that it is media ready. Do you have a headshot? You don't? I have references for people for you to go get your headshot and get that together. Things like being able to have how do I email or how do I approach a producer? What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What do I say? What do they expect from me? Do I give them ideas? Do I not give them ideas? How do I present the ideas? You know, and then I always suggest that you put in some of your pitches, you know, some show ideas and maybe even one segment kind of all fleshed out for the producer because it makes their job easier. Those are like kind of like some of the, you know, the niche things that I suggest to people, and then I can do that for them. I can put a, you know, if we decide that we're talking again about, you know, how to get glamorous in 10 minutes and it's Oscar week, you know, that's what we would do is pitch it, you know, hey, it's Oscar week coming up. This is so-and-so's a celebrity, you know, makeup artist, and here is a great segment that you may want to do that week. And so that's what I help you do is find those the right times of the year and the right weeks and the right temperature by which to approach these producers on any level, really.
Awesome. That's huge. I mean, I know that that media exposure can really tip the whole boat into a totally different world by getting that media exposure. What can someone expect from getting this training from you and getting the media training and the, you know, all of that and moving into this realm of being seen as a more credible expert? What would that, how would that impact themselves and their business?
Well, definitely. It always helps your business pop when you are, when you have, you know, attention in any shape or form. So obviously it would be a really positive thing if you had media attention. The thing is really how is it best used so that you can monetize that exposure? And so you want to be closely related to whatever it is your expertise is. So what I mean by that is, you know, let's say that you dabble in either a few different fields or a few fields that are connected. I highly suggest that you pick one because you're diluting yourself and you really want to be, as when you develop your brand, you want to be known for something. Developing a brand means, what do I think of Rebecca when I think of her? Oh, I think of, you know, her as a leadership expert, as a woman's go-to for how to get it done. You know, boom. That is what branding is. What do I think of, or what does the person who is receiving the information think of in 10 seconds when my name is mentioned? And so that's what this is. That's what this is all about, is how do I become the person that people think of as the, you know, how to look dressed like the Oscars on a dime, you know? Am I the budget stylist person? Am I the celebrity makeup-y person who can knock off looks? Am I the, you know, who am I? And you have to be really clear on that before you can move forward doing any of this. So that's really important
Very
to recognize. Yeah, what is my brand? What is my 10-second brand? What am I known for? Now, look, your brand will evolve and your brand will change and you'll tweak it and you'll be, you know, move from wanting to be known as one thing to another thing, but you have to pick one. You have to pick one.
Very
and
true.
Then monetize.
That's where
it.
I see a lot of people go wrong. Monetizing it too. And they just want to go broad and cast this wider net, and it's really the fastest way to not get new business. It's really important to narrow that down and all of that. That's awesome. So we're going to open. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in fact, you know, I met Seth Godin. I don't know if you guys know who he is.
Oh, yes, I love him.
He's amazing. He's this incredible marketer. He's a genius. And he's written a gazillion books on it. And, you know, I'd read every one of them, and I'd met him at a conference. And I had a conversation with, you know, about some of this with him really quickly. And he said to me, I'll tell you something, the best advice that I can give you and your clients is the nichier you go these days, the better your odds of monetizing what you do. Because then, you know what, people don't know what you do. You know, I'm a lifestyle expert. Well, what does that mean?
Right,
you know?
People don't know what they're buying.
Right, and how does that help me? How does that help me? Because that's what you have to remember, is you have to think of what is the other person thinking? What is the viewer or the client or, you know, whomever you're addressing? It's not what do you want them to think. It's what do they actually think? You know, you have to be able to interpret that, kind of looking down upon yourself of, you know, of how you're presenting yourself and how you're being received. And I know that sounds a little esoteric, but that's everything. How you're being received and the messages that you're sending out, but how they're being received is the key to whether or not you convert, you know, a client.
That's so true. And showing the value as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. So for those of you who are on the phone line, if you want to get in the queue to ask myself or Natalie a question, we'll be taking questions in a few minutes here, and to do that, you would press *2 to raise your hand, and I would just encourage you to take advantage of this unprecedented opportunity. So again, that's *2 if you're on the phone line, and if you're on the webcast, you would just go ahead and type your question right into the box there on the question and answer section, and we will be able to see your question. And again, if you're on the phone, press *2. On the webcast, type it right in. And as you guys are getting in the queue, I will ask Natalie a couple of more questions. So as far as credibility goes, Can you get a little bit more specific about that? Like, what does that mean? I mean, for some people that might mean I have a doctorate, and for other people it might mean, so, you know, for someone who doesn't necessarily have a great amount of credibility, how do they build the credibility, and what exactly does that look like?
So before you have media, it's a great question, by the way, and I, again, get asked that all the time. And here's my best answer to this. Before you have any media experience, all the degrees and the books that you've published or wrote or the articles you've written and all that stuff is very, very, very important because you have nothing else. Mm-hmm. Once you start being cited in the media, that holds the most credence because they see that other people have probably already checked you out and put you on television and put you in a book and put you on a blog and put you here and there because that's what we're using as a measure. Oh, well, she's already been on, you know, the Today Show. I get that. Great. That's credible to me. They checked her out. Sure, she's great. You know, now let's just see if she can handle, you know, my level or my topic, if it's a right fit. So what I'm saying is before you have that media experience, yes, it is a little more important that you do things to get the media attention, like being quoted and cited and off, do even these kinds of interviews, these radio interviews and your expertise, and do all that so that you can gain the credibility so that when other people are looking to make you to see whether or not you're viable and credible, they will see these kinds of media things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really – that's okay. The key. Now, as far as the whole, you know – again, back to the whole get a master's, get a degree, get a this and that. Again, same advice. Move forward until you're stopped. If nobody's interested and nobody's quoted, then you have to reevaluate and say, why aren't I getting this media attention? But did you try? Did you try?
Mm-hmm.
Half of you
right,
won't
true.
Need to do anything else. Some of you will, but you don't know until you try.
Yeah, it's really true. I mean, when I first started my business, I remember I kept saying to the woman I had hired as my mentor, like, don't I need to get a coaching certification? And she said no. And once I get comfortable with not being certified, then no one will ask me about it anyhow. And it was like, you know, I really realized, like, goodness, I've been doing this my entire life. Like, I was born for this. And it's sort of interesting because I've never been asked once if I'm a certified coach, and now I'm actually the program director of a coaching certification in an international academy. And, you know, so it's just kind of funny how things come full circle that way. So, yeah,
that's my point.
This is a golden nugget where you really just keep going until you cannot go any further, and that may or may not even happen at all. So
next
question that I have for you is, how important is a social media presence? And sort of an additional question tacked onto that would be, what do you suggest? So it's a two-part question. How important is social media presence when it comes to having this credibility and getting media exposure and so on? And also, what do you recommend that one has on their website, like a media kit or a speaking tab? Like, what kind of a tab would you suggest for them to have?
Okay, so there are a couple things. I love that question. The first thing I have to say is that if you have things to offer to show people, like if you have clips of yourself on television shows or speaking engagements or whatever, first of all, everybody should be collecting everything. Anything you can get your hands on, you should collect. If you have those to post, if they're good, if they're good, not, oh, I have this thing that I did, but you suck or it looks bad or don't put it up if it looks bad because I'm not going to call you. So if it's good and you know it's good and don't put a whole long thing, put a clip, you know, a small clip, then, yes, put it up. If it's good, if it's great, if you think it's going to help you, and you have to take your ego out of it, you know what I mean? If you really think this is going to help you, then, yes, you put it up. What was the first part of the question?
How important is social media presence in getting that credibility and also getting into the media?
Yeah, look, I have to say, look, I'm going to fess up. I am not a social media person, but I do use social media for credibility. I think a lot of us do. And, you know, that's definitely a place where I could improve is in, you know, how I use social media because, you know, others use it to validate you know, to decide whether or not to buy. If things feel like it looks professional to them, you know, then they'll convert. The thing that I have when I Google and when I am surfing and I'm looking at people's websites, you know, I also consult with that, because that's a very big part of getting business is how does your website look, and getting media attention is, oh, well, I can tell right, by the way, I can tell right off the bat whether or not this person is professional to the level that I need them to be by their website. And that's just the truth. The money you put
behind it,
it's just true. The money you put behind it shows what level you're at. Same thing as the shoes that you wear. It's like, you know what I'm saying? And so I think a lot of people overdo, a lot of starters, a lot of novice people to the media overdo their website because they feel like they have to pack all this information in there to make sure everybody knows everything they can do and all the services they offer, right? In the meantime, you know, it's much more attractive from a professional standpoint to find a clean space and then want to click a button to dig further. Make me click. Make me move. Instead of, you know, all these very overdone, overwhelming websites that kind of say, I say to myself when I Google a person and there they are with all their glory and all their little highlights and all their, like, flashing things and, all, you know, I'm, like, very turned off, and I know that it's just, you know, they're just not ready because they don't get it yet.
Very true, yeah, and that's such an evolving thing, too. I mean, I remember when I first did my website and I thought, okay, this is it. I'm done. I mean, I thought that website was, like, going to last me for a lifetime, and it's always an evolving thing. I mean, you energetically are such an evolving force. And, you know, paying attention to that. I mean, I've got a bunch of photos scheduled, this huge photo shoot in L.A. next week or in 2 weeks, actually. And then once those are complete, I'll be doing new graphics and getting a different website up and that sort of thing. I mean, my website is very out of date right now, and it is what it is. And kind of being comfortable with that transition period, too. So,
absolutely.
But great. I love the clean space.
Yeah, the clean thing and is just about – where is your professionalism? You know, when you know, you ever see, like, if you're nice, you don't have to tell people you're nice, that kind of thing. If you're professional, you don't need to throw it in people's face that you're professional. It will speak.
Right.
It will speak from what you've done, from who you know, from it will present itself. So let's not pretend that you're something that you're not. Let's just be comfortable where you are and always aspire to the next place.
Totally. Very true.
And you know
so
what?
We've
so
got
a
question
from
coming
level,
in.
We don't
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say from a national, like, if you really wanted to be on, you know, Good Morning America, you're really not ready. Like, people think, oh, you know, if I put my website up and I get all professional, I get some media training, I'm going to be on Good Morning America. You probably don't want to be on Good Morning America until you are ready to be on Good Morning America. Because if Good Morning America puts you on and you are not ready, you will never be on TV again. And so
totally.
Take everything as it comes.
So true.
You know, it's a process, and own it and accept it and don't rush it. And I'm not saying don't be ambitious about it or be focused about it. I think you should be, but I'm just saying it's a process, and you want to get there when you're supposed to get there.
Yeah, it's true. Just not forcing things and having that ability to get the local coverage and the local experience. And if you're, you know, I mean, I definitely think it sounds to me from what you're saying, like, really, if you want to go this route, you've got to get that media training as well as the branding that you offer in order to have things be polished and really take it to the next level. I mean, I'm not seeing a lot of people who don't know how to speak in sound bites, where they haven't gotten together what I call your you know, like problem. And
yeah,
they end up maybe having a few local coverage, you know, that sort of thing. And they're not getting to the next level. So being willing to invest in yourself financially and time-wise is humongous. Like, no one else is going to come along and do that for you.
That's right. And you know what? When you spend money on one of these certifications, what are you doing? You're investing in yourself. This is that. This is that.
It's so true. Absolutely. So I will let anyone on the phone line who wants to raise their hand, just press star 2 to raise your hand and ask a question. And then we have a question that's come in here, a couple of questions that have come in, so we'll hopefully try to get to all of these. But we've got one question from Anna coming in, and it says, I feel right on the edge of not letting fear run the show in my life. How do I tip myself over to the other side of fear?
Rebecca, you want to get that? Or you want me to?
I'd love to get your input on this, because I think, again, this goes back to that visibility thing. And so, you know, again, I mean, I've said this on my radio show before, fear, according to the Course in Miracles, and I totally, you know, believe in what it has in that book, they talk about fear really being false evidence appearing real. And to me, fear is always you not being in the present moment. Like, a lot of times when people get into fear about, you know, how am I going to appear on air, or how am I going to, you know, it's always these what if questions, or getting into the how, which is always none of your business. And when you're thinking about, I mean, certainly it's normal to think, I mean, I can remember when I did the media appearance and back in January, and I didn't really come at it from a fear place, because I don't really live my life like that anymore. But I definitely thought about a bunch of different things, and it was my first media appearance. And thank heavens I had a friend who is in the media. She's in that area of expertise. And so she was able to tell me something like, I had no idea, like, don't wear green. And I literally was potentially going to wear a green shirt. And I mean, I'm laughing because a lot of people are probably thinking, what is she talking about? Well, if you get put in front of a green screen, like, you all of a sudden are a torso-less being. And so I didn't wear green. But so you imagine these things, and that's cool. But, like, imagine the outcome that you want to create. And then take yourself back into reality. Like, if the fear is like, what if I trip up the stairs and fall? Well, what do you want to create? You know, imagine in your mind what you want to create, and then don't stay in the projected what ifs or what will happen, or it's really all about the what ifs. And that's how you keep yourself out of fear. And you just, it's a practice. It's like yoga. You just keep doing it and you bring yourself back, and eventually it becomes normal. So I don't know if you have any suggestions there, if someone's really terrified of, like, oh, my gosh, I've got this. I mean, certainly if you get to the point of the Today Show, like, there's going to be some major butterflies going around in your stomach, I would imagine.
That's good. You know, people that go on stage every day that are Broadway performers have butterflies. It's all adrenaline. It's all good stuff, you know. But to your point, I think one of the most important things to remember is anything that scares you from something is a story that you're making up. It didn't happen. And so... Mm-hmm. You know, I am going to fail because I am not ready. Okay? You made that up. That's not true. You just told yourself a story. And so those are the kinds of things, once you become, like you said, trained in catching those things, then you can say, oh, well, I just made that up. You know, once you can catch yourself making up these things and being scared of second-guessing yourself with stories, you can catch it and stop it and know that it's all just baloney.
Totally. I totally agree with that. Absolutely. So we have Maeve is writing in, and she says, where do I start and who do I reach out to? I don't even know where to begin, like, in regards to calling magazines or media. Like, who are they even looking for? What are they Googling?
Okay. So the best thing to do is – so there are specialties in all local news. So there are people that everybody has a beat. And so some people are the lifestyle beat, and some people are a real estate beat, and they're all different beats. Same thing in producing on television. When I was a television producer, like a daily television producer, I was in charge of etiquette and parenting and fashion. Those were my three specialties. And people probably don't even know that, but that's how it works. We all have our specialties so that whatever books come in or experts come in or stories come in, they get funneled to you because that's what you know best. And so what you want to seek out is who those people are on those beats for whatever it is. Who is the style reporter for your area, if that's your thing? Who is the real estate reporter, or who are they in your areas? Who are those people? You get their names. You literally call the station, ask for, say, hey, you know, I'm trying to email, you know, Kim Bestel. Can you please give me the configuration of her email for the station? And it's usually you can find it, you know, kbestel@abcphilly.com or whatever it is, you know. And then you send, and that's how you start A, finding the person, honing in on who that is, sending an initial email, introducing yourself and sending a picture and, you know, a quick bio and saying you would love to, you know, you're going to send them some news stories, see if you can get a response from them. If you don't be turned off. Still send the, you know, and by the way, if you do get quoted by a paper, then I would use that. Then you need to leverage whatever it is you get, whatever tiny thing you get, you leverage that into, look at me. I did get picked up. Someone did quote me. I am an expert. Look. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and give them story ideas. And how do you come up with story ideas? You know, they should be timely. They should be current, in the news, related to the news, because that's what they do. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do a piece on, you know, most likely gift giving in the middle of July.
Right.
So if you're selling something, you know, it's gift giving, make sure that it's around graduation, around Mother's Day, around Christmas or the holidays or whatever. So you just have to be smart about it. And that's simplifying it, but, you know, that's the truth. There is a Grandparents Day. And if your business focuses on, you know, relationships or elderly people or whatever it is, then you have to be aware when Grandparents Day is, things like that, because they will do a feature on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, another kind of add-on to that that I'd be curious to hear your feedback on is a lot of the people that are on the radio show are in the coaching industry and that sort of thing, or they're entrepreneurs. So what if there isn't, like, you know, for example, I'm the Get It Done expert and I'm a coach. Like, there's not a coaching columnist, per se, or a coaching reporter. So how would one in this industry go to get that media coverage?
Well, you have to kind of expand what it is that you coach about. And so how to get it done can be, or how to get what you want or whatever, you know, your focus is, can be in any industry. So it's how to get the love of your life, how to have a successful business, you know, how to keep your New Year's resolutions, how to, whatever it is, you just have to cater to what they are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that that's exactly – that's one of the key elements. That's what I meant when I was saying that, you know, you really need to see how you are being received. Because if you are so general, if you're a coach, I'm a coach on what? That doesn't work for them, because their beat is love and relationships.
Right.
And their beat is, you know, business. And their beat is, you know, and their beat is, you know, fashion. And if it's like, you know what, how to dress for success.
Right.
That's a coachable thing.
Totally.
That helps you get what you want. That's specific. That's a segment.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you just have to curtail it into that. And getting someone's help on writing pitches, which is what I've done before myself, is having someone to help with, that has that experience, is tremendously – it will get you totally different results versus – you know, not hearing back from people, which is, you know, we've got a question coming in now from Ingrid, which is saying, what do you do if you don't hear back?
You keep trying. I wouldn't be annoying, but you keep
trying.
You know, I know there's a fine line between annoying and ambitious, you know, and dedicated, but that's all one can do. The truth is that we are busy. Producers are busy.
Yeah.
Not unlike most other professions. You know, like just like if you were an actor and you were saying, how do I get an agent? You know, well, most of the time we want to see something. So if you have something to show me, you know, when you get something, I want to see it. That'll pique my interest. I have a new website.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for you to click on it first. You know, that kind of thing. Something new, not just like, oh, let me touch base with Natalie again. I'll probably just delete it. So you want to touch base when there's something new to introduce, whether, again, if it's a new website or it's you just got quoted in, you know, whatever, in a local paper or the New York Times or the whatever it is, I want to know about what's new and why you would be emailing me. Now, that doesn't mean I'll respond either. But now I know that when you are emailing me, you're sending me something new and you're not wasting my time and you're not being annoying. I know you're trying, and I know why you're trying. And by the way, although we're arrogant because the power lies in our hands, so you think. So you think the power lies in our hands. We don't want to lose you to if I work for Good Morning America, I do not want to lose you to the Today Show. You are valuable. When you are worthy, we need you. and we will come get you. We will come get you. So we don't want to lose people that are credible and worthy. We just have to make sure that the timing's right so we don't lose our job. That's all it is.
True.
When I introduce
very
you
true.
To my executive producer, I have to feel confident like you are going to kill it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And doing a lot of the legwork, too, is going to make a big difference.
Big
so
difference.
We've got
big
another question that's come in from Jen, and she's asking, how much local coverage does she need to do before she goes bigger, before
okay.
she starts branching out to bigger platforms?
Mm-hmm. Although that's a good question, that is also an insecurity question.
Mm.
There is no number. We all know what that number is. That number is when you're ready, move on. Push, you know, only you know. Only you know what that number is. If you feel like you have taken control and you're ready to move, then you try. Then you move on to the next level. You need to have something to show for yourself. So let's say the first 10 things you did or first 5 things you did, you didn't even record or you didn't tape and you have nothing to help use that to build your sizzle reel. Well, then you probably do need to do some more because you need the foundation to be able to show people. You know, those are the kinds of things that you you use from the time that you're working yourself up. It's being able to create, you know, save those elements to be able to put them together and present them on a national level. But again, you know, for some people, they're very comfortable in front of the camera. It won't take that long.
Mm-hmm.
For other people, you know, they're missing key elements. So there's not, again, it's a great question, by the way, because I know everybody wants to feel like, okay, well, if you do local TV for 1 year, you should be good to go. There's no such number. You know, we all know.
It's all so individual.
It really is. It's very individual. And you'll know, by the way. You know why? You'll get antsy. You know when you're like, you've done something and you feel that, like, I can do more than this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're stopped. But your initial gut is, I can do more than this. And then you're often stopped because it's like, oh, did I just say that? Did I just say I could do more than this? And now I'm, like, going to put myself in that arena? But you know.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Yeah, you really have to be in tune with that and know. And for some people, it might be 2 or 3 segments locally and, like, bam, they're ready to take it to the next level. It just depends on how fast you're growing, which, again, is requiring the uncomfortableness. And so getting really okay with the uncomfortableness. Like, I know for me personally, it was 4 years ago I went to a workshop, and it was really scary for me to go take this step in my life for many different reasons and fly to Florida and rent a car by myself, which I love flying, but I had never gone and rented a car and driven to a hotel all by myself, and that was extremely terrifying. And ever since then, I have literally been what I call taking the hand of fear and doing it anyhow. And that's really what Natalie's talking about here, is being so in tune with yourself and allowing for that uncomfortableness to be the opportunity, to be the excitement, and to be the growth and all of that. So I just want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners here on the call today. Great questions, everyone. Really, really fabulous questions. And Natalie, thank you so much for coming back on our show again. We so appreciate all of the wisdom and insight and areas of expertise that you have shed light on for us today in regards to everything that we touched on.
Always such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you. Have a great rest of the day, everyone. And thanks again, Natalie.
Take care.
You too. Bye.